It's time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton, the WPKY studios. We're going to start the day off and running with the Kiowa County tennis coaches in the studio with us, Steve Kukihiko and Tori Hammett in the studio with us this morning. And, guys, appreciate you coming in and being on the show today.
Thanks, Todd, for asking.
Yeah, we're glad to be here always.
How is the season going for the CCHS tennis teams right now?
Well, as far as the girls, I mean, we played pretty good so far. I mean, a lot of teams, you know, and I tell the kids and that some teams don't have as many kids as we do as far as the females. And Tori can talk about the guys, but the females, we've got probably 13 or 14 girls, which is good. A lot of them are still underclassmen. We have two seniors, one junior, and a boatload of sophomores and freshmen. So if they continue, I think we'll continue to get better. But right now I think we're holding our own against some of the teams. We haven't played one of the stronger teams, Henderson, yet because of a cancellation there. But we got them on the schedule for a couple of times this year. So.
Now, when Fort Campbell showed up the other night, they just had players keep getting off the bus.
I've never seen so many. I mean, you know, the coach, usually we try to check with the other team how many kids are bringing so we don't have a bunch of kids just sitting around. And when he told me they had this many kids and then they just kept getting off, and I'm going, we ain't got enough kids here to play them. So, but it's always good to get a team that has several so we can get some of our younger kids some experience, court time. Don't know that we can accommodate every one of them during the course of the year, but so far it's been pretty good.
Yeah, Tori, how about the guys?
We got a little weird dynamic where we got two seniors and then two eighth graders and nothing in between. So it's kind of odd time. It hadn't been like that at Cabo for a long time, but yeah, we got Noah Bailey and Ben Mincer are our seniors, and then Charlie Conger and Declan Miller are our eighth graders. And the senior guys are doing really well. They've collected some wins already, and they've collected some doubles wins together. And then the two young guys, Charlie and Declan, you know, you can see a lot of future in them too, because they started pretty young, and they've gotten better in the last couple years. So they're doing pretty well. The Declan had a good match the other night with Fort Campbell showed up with two exchange students from Italy. So you know, you never know what you're going to get with that, but they were pretty good. They were pretty good tennis players, and we had some good matches the other night, and it's been fun to watch. We obviously need more boys to come out, whether they start early or not. You know, you can enjoy and learn a sport that you can play all your life, but young ones, you know, that they got more time to put into it would be helpful as well. But it's been good. They've won a few matches. I think we tied Fort Campbell on the boys' side. What was that, night before last? And so they've done good. They've experienced some success, experienced some defeat as well. But that's not a terrible thing. It's good for them to get out there and learn what they got to get better at.
Well, the spring sports schedule is kind of a busy one, so it's kind of tough because you got baseball you can play, you've got track you can play. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a crowded field when you're looking for players this time of year.
Sure it is. Yeah. It's tough. And, we still try to do the summer camp to get young people exposed to tennis, because that's one of the bigger issues that you see on the big level is we still don't have a lot of feeder programs in West Kentucky that push tennis. A little bit in Paducah, but not much around here. So you kind of got to manufacture ways to expose kids to it.
Now, how much off-season work do you get to do before the season? Steve?
Well, you know, we always take advantage of that by going down to Kinn Lake, and we go down there 7 or 8 times in the wintertime, obviously, before we can get on the courts. And I'm sure Tori will probably agree with this, that you can see those 7 or 8 times, those that made the commitment to go down there, how much they improve when we get on the court. And, of course, it doesn't hurt when you have a professional tennis player leading the way either, because Mr. Purcell is very good with the kids. He's done it for years. He's played in a lot of big you know, places.
Yeah. And you've been in the quarterfinals of Wimbledon.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about me for a minute. But then you said Mr. Brazil. Yeah. And I thought, oh, okay. That's what you're talking about.
So, but it's good to have someone that it gives them instruction. Plus, when you got Tori that knows the game and then Coach Schaefer, Caitlin, that helps out as well. Yeah. And so it's always good to get extra court time in.
That time's critical.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
critical
to them. But 2 hours, those 7 or 8 times. Mm. I mean, it makes a huge difference. Yeah. I mean, a huge difference. It's a shame it can't be year-round. You know what I mean? Like, there's the difference. But it does help them a lot.
You guys mentioned Mel Purcell. And, of course, the big thing back when he was making the run at Wimbledon. I mean, that was back in the heyday.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
when you had Mack and Rowan Connors and all those guys.
Yeah, he's played all those guys.
So that was always big to try to watch and see just how far he was going to get.
Yeah, and it's interesting. He doesn't really... he doesn't really display that much, but he does on occasion.
Yeah.
And I remember just a quick little story because, you know, I feel like I can play tennis. So we're playing this thing called King of the Hill. So I was – you got to – once you become this end of the court King of the Hill, the other kids got to win 2 points to take over King of the Hill. So, you know, I was playing with them. And, you know, our guys are a little younger and I wasn't losing. And I noticed Mel – just kind of caught that out of the corner of his eye, and next thing I know, he walks over there, gets in line, and I thought, oh no.
Yeah.
So when he took over, man, it was like instantly I was done. Like it was miraculous to watch what he did that quick to take me out, and I thought, oh, okay, he's real different. He's real different, and I think he maybe even excelled at doubles more. So it's interesting to watch him work with our kids at the net. I mean, he's rough on them. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's rough on them. But, gosh, yeah, he had to be good. I would love to watch him, you know, play and really get with it. We just hadn't got to see that yet.
When you see somebody like that, though, Steve, you just kind of you realize there's an entirely different level of athlete out there than what a lot of us could even aspire to.
It's amazing, like Tori just said. I mean, you know, to see his quickness. I mean, he anticipates where the ball is going to go, and he's already heading that direction.
Yeah.
I guess that's because of many years of him and his – dad, was it Benny? That his dad? Benny Purcell, I think, or something like that. I think that's his dad. I think he told me one time. So it's amazing. His quickness, his racket speed.
Hand-eye coordination.
It's just amazing. I mean, we see that on a different level when we have kids. But him, he doesn't have to hit it hard. He just places it where it needs to be.
Yeah.
So,
well, the thing I've noticed about every really good tennis player, they move their feet, and like you said, the hand-eye coordination and the quick wrists. I mean, that's a must to play at that level.
Yeah.
It's not we tell the kids all the time, they visually, it looks to me visually that they're playing tennis with their upper body. And I tell them, no, this is a full-body sport. Like, lower body is so important because it doesn't matter what your upper body looks like if you don't get yourself in position with your feet to get the ball where you want it. Like, quit trying to hit the ball where it's coming. Get yourself in position to put the ball where you want it so that when you hit it, you hit a good shot.
Yeah.
And it's tough for them to think that through. They don't think about that till it's just hammering on them, that footwork.
Now, in high school, though, you can kind of have some success if you can just keep the ball in play a lot of times.
Yeah.
You know, if you're consistent and you just keep getting the ball in and kind of wait for that other person
to make the mistake.
I don't necessarily like them to have that mindset, because then they become, you know, we get to bunting the ball, like just trying to tap it in. However, it is important. We do hammer them with this. Like, don't beat yourself with unforced errors. Like, there's a time to take a chance every now and then. There's a time to bust one if you want to bust one. But, man, just be consistent. If you can keep the ball in play 7-8 shots in a row, you're going to win that point. You're just going to win that point, because a lot of kids aren't willing to you know, do what you're talking about. They're not willing to play composed, I guess would be the way I'd say it. But, yeah, if you can get consistent, you can have some success for sure.
Well, we used to call that boring tennis.
Yeah. That's true. But,
I mean, you got to use it when
works.
You need to.
You know, it works.
Yeah, well, use it when you need to.
It works until you get to, like, the state tournament.
And then comes the problem.
You see other players who are hitting passing shots and are putting the ball right on the line where they want it, and it's got pace to it. And again, it's just an entirely different level of tennis.
It is. And you know, like you said, Todd, I mean, you know, some of these kids, you know, we're playing a lot of kids right now that we probably pretty much know what they're going to be doing in the region. But we just need them to get them more court time as we possibly. Unfortunately, some of the younger ones, they're not getting as much as they probably want to. And, you know, we're trying to. Not to say we're doing it now, but after spring break, after next week, then we'll start focusing in on the ones we need to work with a little more. And so hopefully it'll challenge the other ones, the younger ones, just to get to practice every day that they can. And, you know, a lot of kids now, they've turned 16, so now they may have a vehicle and they got to have gas money, and so they're trying to find jobs. And so they kind of make it a little tough sometimes to, I can't be at practice today because I got to go to work. Well, I understand, but, you know, just don't be upset if you don't get to play a match for a day or two,
right.
You know. And so you have those things that happen probably in every sport, but mainly in tennis, this is the time of year that we struggle with.
We're talking tennis this morning with Caldwell County coaches Steve Cookie-Hicko and Tori Hammett. We need to get to a break on the show. We'll come back and have more after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Great news from Caldwell Medical Associates, now offering expanded podiatry services at the Annex. Anna Murphy and Dr. Walker Estes provide comprehensive podiatric care, from wound care to specialized treatments for foot and ankle issues. Whether you're dealing with sports injuries, arthritis, or require surgical attention, they're ready to tailor treatment to your needs. Don't let foot pain hold you back. Take the first step with Caldwell Medical Associates. Pain-free living right here, close to home.
Golf Lessons, starring Catherine Brown of the UK Women's Golf Team. And Wade.
Maybe this golf game is more your speed.
Hey, I got it by the windmill, hole in one.
Well, that's hole two. We're on hole six.
No, I couldn't get it through the windmill, so I went over it.
Farmers Bank, a great place to bank, friendly service, zero windmill skills. Let's step aside and let the five-year-old play through.
I think she's laughing at me.
She's not the only one.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Getting the kids to school makes mornings a little busier for everyone. Keep your kids safe with a reliable ride from U-Ride. Every vehicle is thoroughly checked for safety because they know your family comes first. From first cars for teens to dependable family SUVs, U-Ride has a range to fit every budget. Enjoy peace of mind knowing they're nearby and ready to help. U-Ride is committed to you after the sale. Visit them on Marion Road in Princeton and drive with confidence this school year.
Spring is in the air at the Country Barn, and so is your chance to win big. All this week, did twice daily for $250 gift certificates in the Loyal Listener Big Deal Store. Spruce up your garden or patio with gorgeous flowers, outdoor furniture, and unique decor. Plus, satisfy your cravings at the Country Boy Cafe. Think ribeye sandwiches, fresh subs, and creamy ice cream. Don't miss the Country Barn Spring Auction all this week in the Loyal Listener Big Deal Store.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for tuning in this morning. We're talking tennis with Caldwell County coaches Steve Cookie-Hicko and Tori Hammett in the studio with us this morning. And Steve, where are you guys at in the season, and when does the regional tournament roll around?
I believe we're in our seventh match. We play again tonight against University Heights here. At 4 o'clock, they're going to get here a little earlier, which is good for us. But we're about half. We're not saying we're halfway through. We played everybody, like I said, but Henderson, Madisonville. They've always strong, and they've got plenty of kids. And they we took it on the chin whenever we went over there. But we got some girls that we always try to come off the court asking them, what was it that didn't work today that you need to work on at practice again? And some of them take it to heart. Some of them will do it. But like Tori mentioned earlier and we talked about, the serving part is what we need to do a little bit better, especially in singles. You know, try to put them in a spot to do that. But well, I think we're like maybe 6-1 right now and for the girls. Now, the boys, they're struggling because of the numbers. But we're okay right now because – all you have to do, is, as you well know, is finish in the top four in the region where you get a chance to go to Is it semi-state? Is that what they called it this year?
I don't know if they have a name yet.
Yeah,
if it's like golf, it's like called the state first round or
something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
it's still state, but it's just at four locations.
Instead of getting to go to Lexington, you have to go someplace else.
Yes, and of course, you know, the experience we've had, some kids that go up there in the past, a little different play up there than he is here, obviously. And so we have high hopes. Hopefully the girls have big dreams of getting back and representing the school somewhere in the state tournament. And
I understand, Tori, what the KHSAA is doing with the state first round. I'm not sure I like it, because to me, getting to go to Lexington or wherever the state tournament failed, that's sort of the reward for a good season.
Yeah.
And same thing with golf.
Sure.
Well, now if you have a good season, it's not the same to say, well, we're going to Owensboro or to Bowling Green or to Paducah for the state first round, and then only select kids from that get to go on to Lexington.
Yeah, just four. It's almost like another region tournament, because you got to finish in that top four. But there's construction. I think they took out some UK courts and put some buildings in, and then top seed maybe was giving us trouble for being able to use their indoor and their outdoor. So, I mean, I get the concept of what they're trying to do. Just kids got to get a mindset. I can see it both ways. I mean, I can see it both ways. It does prevent a really good player but that's not the top 16 in the state. Mm-hmm. That's where it's screwy in Kentucky. If you're not the top 16 in the state, let's just say you're 17th or 24th or 32nd, you can still draw the one seed,
right?
Who is a savage?
Yeah.
Or the second, who's a savage. Mm-hmm. Those first, there's four or five guys that are just real different. And that's terrible. I mean, that's a terrible experience. So if you are good, this first round of state where you only can pull from four regions, which there's going to be a couple good ones. I think we got like Bowling Green.
Yeah.
So you're still going to have some good ones. But, man, you might not have to deal with that animal of a bad draw. And we've experienced that on both boys and girls sides. We've had kids that could beat half that field, half that 64, but you can't draw them. I mean, you got to get lucky and draw them. I mean, sometimes we got lucky, but it seems more often we don't, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like more often we don't. So I can see where it could allow for some kids to have some success, that they could have a bad draw and not have success going straight to Lexington. So I can dig on it kind of both ways. Yeah.
Now, a couple of years ago, a couple of Madisonville teams got some good draws, and they played two or three matches at state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of they were good, but
there's
they
a real got a good girl draw. In yeah. that one that yeah. that girl in Madisonville, yeah. she's yeah. bad good. Yeah. And Mayfield, you know, the there's been a really good girl in Mayfield, a really good boy in Mayfield. A really good boy in Paducah that has gone over there and had some success. And then we've had a couple doubles teams that got fortunate draws and went over there and got a win in that round of in that field of 64. But it's just, man, it's just, I hate the way they do it. And, you know, who am I? It's just another opinion. But obviously, Todd, it's not classed. So therein lies the biggest problem is it's not classed. Right. Then you got to back up and go, okay, what are we doing here? We're not rewarding kids in a way that they could do it better.
Yeah.
They could do it better. But they ultimately know, those decision makers, they ultimately know, hey, we're going to get down to these four or five kids anyway, so what's it really matter? Mm. I mean, I guess it don't.
But we treat every sport differently. They would never do that to basketball. They would never come out and say, we're having four sectionals this year, and the best four teams will come to Rep Arena.
No, they
would never do that.
No. They never do that.
So to me, the prize for winning your region is getting to go and be at the big state tournament with all the other teams. And if you lose in the first round, then so be it. But that was your reward.
That's what kids aspire to have the experience of doing. So yes,
you know, a lot of these kids that we're playing, I mean, you look at the schools, not all of them, but just the bigger ones that you got to compete with, they don't have many kids playing multiple sports. you know, and we've got kids doing, you know, soccer, volleyball, and something like that from a, I'm not saying we're a small school, but we're bigger than some of them. But then you look at teams that you got to compete with every year for the regional title or whatever it is just to go to the state. It's a difficult, but then as you go up to Lexington and face those teams up there where, I mean, you're going
year-round indoor.
Yeah, you're just going up there to watch somebody play tennis and spend the night and come back. I mean, that's pretty much what it leads up to. So,
it's tough.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, getting back to classification, there is some rumors that the KHSAA might do that with soccer as an experiment. Just to see what happens. And, you know, I think we could see it in soccer and volleyball first, maybe baseball and softball down the road. I don't see it in the near future for basketball, but I do think maybe some of the other sports and maybe tennis will be on the list at some point too.
Yeah, is wrestling?
No, although they do have, for the duels, which I think the Coaches Association runs, they have a large school and a small school duels, so... So
it's just, I mean, obviously it's, I mean, I don't know. I'm there's that debate and I guess when you, I've seen it in a state where it was all classed. So obviously I think that's best, right? Like I'm, you know, maybe somebody could help convince me otherwise. I just, the stories that I've heard from different people through the years, through social media and conversations, I'm not convinced that not classing is the better way. I'm just not, none of the reasons have said, made me think, oh, yeah, you know what? I think you got a point there. I'm not. I can't get past how we don't class. How can it ever be equitable if you don't class it? I mean, it's just not. There's no.
But you
no
can find those people on the other side of the fence, and if you bring up classification, they think you're nuts.
Yeah. I know.
It's tough. Everybody's kind of entrenched on one side or the other. And
that's why it don't go nowhere. Yeah.
Now, as far as the region and the state first round, do we know where those things will be yet?
I think they had sent me I think they're looking at a couple spots, maybe Paducah, depending on, you know, you got to find a facility that has several courts, obviously. And they may have in Paducah a couple of areas where they have four or five courts. So we're not quite sure how that's going to be.
Another region.
The region is going to be at Hopkinsville.
Okay.
You know, I believe Jamie tried to get us to help her, but I think UHA is going to host it this year. And obviously, they'd rather host it there, and we would rather host it there than going to Henderson and playing. So as far as the region, that's where it's going to be this year. Now, after semi-state and all that, I think it's still up there, or I haven't got anything.
Okay. Well, Steve, I got to ask you about a trip you took last week. I know you got to go up to St. Louis and see a couple of basketball games.
We did. We were very fortunate. You know, obviously, we wanted to go watch one of our local kids, Jabrion Spikes, play. And we were talking, you know, when that draw came out, of all the venues and places they could go, we were thinking Greenville, South Carolina. And I thought, man, that's going to be a long trip to go watch him play, but we want to support the young man. Well, then the brackets came out, and then it looked like, well, Kentucky was going to St. Louis. And I thought, boy, that'd be great if TSU could go to St. Louis.
Yeah.
And right after that, they put them in there. And my son called, and he said, hey, Dad, you want to go? I said, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we got tickets. I think Dustin Cash, his dad, Ronnie, and then his son, Easley. Dustin's son Easley, and then Andrew Felker, myself, and Daniel were going up there. The first game, we were a little higher because of the packed house of UK playing and against Santa Clara. But then after that game, people started filtering out, so we got down there almost on court side.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, to watch Jabrion and them. And congrats to Jabrion and TSU for advancing that far. They're a pretty talented young team. And, we were able to spend a little time watching Jabrion. So, yeah, pretty excited about going up there and getting to watch both teams at the closest place we could have gone.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked out perfectly, like you said. And How about the away shot, though?
You know, be honest with you, I keep telling everybody, after the kid from Santa Clara made that three, I just dropped my head, as most people would. But I just raised it up in time to see the inbounds pass and then go to away down there and the shot. It just seemed like it took forever as it going down there. And when it banked in, I'm like everybody else, what just happened?
Yeah.
You know, and then, of course, I thought, well, that was fate probably that happening. And so after that, then UK just took advantage of it. And, of course, we saw the Iowa State team, and they're a pretty talented young team. So, I mean, it's going
to
be
tough.
Was
that your first NCAA first-round region to go to?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, and you, man, what an experience.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got to go to one in Nashville years ago. I was living in Nashville, and I went. I can't remember the two teams, but it was like a 14 underdog, underman. And they took the big boy team down there and hit a last second shot. But man, that is the ultimate day to watch. I don't really know why. I mean, I'm sure the Final Four would be great too, but that day you gotta hope you're in a region where you either get that, ending shot, or you get the Cinderella team gets
right.
a win.
Yeah.
Either one of those, you got what you wanted, but that's a special day to see. And I know that's going to be special for Jabron. Like, what an experience. And we were talking about that last night at church that man, he'll be able to tell those stories for the rest of his life.
He got to score 2 points.
Yeah.
Grab a couple of rebounds.
He'll have some kids one day probably, and he'll be telling stories of playing on the NCAA tournament against an extremely talented Iowa State team. And it'll be great.
To your knowledge, is him and Eli the only two?
Michael Frelich played.
That's what you're going to say. We were trying to figure
out.
Hit the
big shot against Michigan.
Yes.
So the Smiths played in the NCAA tournament. After that, I don't know. Now, Darian got to play in the NIAA championships with Georgetown. They went a long way, and I think Jabron did too. But Darian never got to the NCAA tournament. He's playing in New Zealand.
New Zealand is what I saw now. Yeah. So it may be a long trip to go watch him play. I don't know if.
Hey, shout out to Caldwell County. They did install new nets and net posts for us this year. We're pushing for maybe just a little bit more help with some things out there. But I think they've got it on their agenda to look at season's end. But we do have extremely nice brand new nets and net poles. They were desperately needed. So appreciate Caldwell stepping in, helping us out, get those.
For sure.
And we'll look towards the other stuff maybe in the future that maybe can get done to help. But that was much needed.
Now, before you go, who do you guys have in the NCAA tournament?
I like Arizona. I'm sure everybody else does too. But, I mean, you know, I just think they're a well-round team right now, and they're playing pretty good, but anything can happen. That's the reason you play the game, I guess.
You know, I'd be interested to see if I'm trying to think who they're by. So, like, I took Illinois out a little ways in mine just because they score and they were playing good. Now they got Houston, which is a contrast of style. So I'm interested to see what happens in that game. I actually think both of them beat the I mean, it's just my opinion. I just think both of them might beat the top team, which will be Duke or St. John's. It's because Duke's been trying to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been trying to lose. So they may not get by St. John's. So I don't know. Everybody's like, Duke's going to win, and Lord help, maybe they do. But I don't think they win it. I think Arizona and Michigan, obviously, I think are the two biggest animals left. But I don't know. I try to throw in a little sleeper, so I'm thinking the winner of that Illinois game. If Illinois wins that game, hey, you better watch out.
You got an insight on North Carolina job?
No, I don't. I mean, they usually hire within at North Carolina. Yeah. It's usually a former Tar Heel, so we'll see where they go.
Yeah. It ought to be interesting.
Somebody's going to end up trying to clip the Florida coach.
Well, somebody floated Calipari's name out there for the North Carolina job.
Well, and I read that Patino had floated his name into the North Carolina spot.
That'd be interesting.
His people had reached out. So, you know, you're going to hear all kinds of rumors right now, but I don't know. I don't think any of us are a fan of the Florida coach.
Well,
man, he showed some antics, boy, that would make people pause. He may have cost himself a job somewhere in there with some of that behavior.
You know, when Kentucky was going through that little stretch of not playing well and maybe losing a few games, a group of us were talking through a text message, and I kept telling them, you know, you always say the opposite, hoping that the team would come around. You know, I was wanting Kentucky to win some of the games, but then I got to a point there, then I kept sending out texts, well, they're going to get rid of Pope and bring back Billy Clyde. That got them all going.
It's fixing to get a little chaotic, though, because you're going to have North Carolina. Now, Bill Self has said doesn't sound like he's going to retire, but I've been told 95% sure he was going to retire with his health issues. But you've got, it's going to come out today that NC State, big offer Will Wade's going back to LSU. Mm-hmm. So that's going to open up NC State. So, man, there's going to be shockwaves. How do you portal kids right now and recruit? When there's fixing to be a domino job effect. Yeah. So you got coaches jockeying for their own. They're fixing to get in their own portal.
Yeah.
So it's crazy right now.
Just a different world.
It's a different world.
Well, I appreciate you guys coming in today and being on the show. And good luck this afternoon against UHA.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
Caldwell County tennis coaches Steve Cookie-Hicko and Tori Hammett on the show with us this morning. We need to get to a break, but we'll be back with more after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Now's the time to make sure you and your family are financially taken care of for life. Call Josh Ray with Woodman Life at 270-625-0307.
The Brother Edge Weather Center forecast. Sunny skies, 86 degrees this afternoon. A southwest wind that could be as high as 30 to 35 miles an hour. Then tonight, mostly clear skies. Low around 53 Friday, an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures falling to low 50s. And then Friday night, a mostly cloudy sky, gradually clear. Low of 33. But back to this afternoon, 86 sunny skies in southwestern Kentucky.
From the wipers to the wheels, trust your vehicle with the team who knows it best at Trice Hughes of Princeton. Our certified service experts understand every inch of your GMC or Chevrolet car, truck, or SUV. Whether it's routine maintenance or something more, rely on their factory training and dedication to keep your ride running strong. Schedule your next service with confidence and see why so many drivers choose Trice Hughes. Excellence in every detail. Visit TriceHughes.com.
Hey, sports fans, you wouldn't want your favorite sports team to play only offense or defense. When it comes to insurance, why settle for someone that can handle only your auto policy? At Goodwin Insurance, they take care of all your insurance needs. You deserve someone that provides comprehensive coverage and is working alongside you in your community. Contact them today for a quote.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
High school juniors and seniors, are you ready to take control of your financial future? First Southern National Bank is excited to highlight the Give, Save, and Spend course offered through Asbury University. This hands-on course teaches practical money management skills, including how to give generously, save regularly, and spend wisely. It's the perfect way to prepare for life ahead. Registration is now open on the Asbury University website. Don't miss this opportunity to build financial confidence that lasts a lifetime.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Henry Ford once said, stopping advertising to save money is like stopping your watch to save time. Advertising is an investment. At WPKY, we get it. While most businesses want to advertise, sometimes it can be tough to budget. That's why we are proud to offer options through our Big Deals program. If you have products our listeners want, you can pay for advertising with gift certificates to your business. Want details? Call WPKY and ask for Heather today. Or email hriley at wkdzradio.com. That's hriley at wkdzradio.com.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. We've got baseball action on the air this afternoon. The Caldwell County Tigers will play at Hopkins County Central. The schedule says it's at home, but they had to flip games this week, so it's actually in Morton's Gap. We'll have the game for you as the Tigers play at Hopkins County Central immediately following the 5 o'clock newscast today. As you heard, tennis is home today. Caldwell County's Netters will be hosting University Heights Academy. And the Lady Tigers softball team is home today with 2 varsity games and 7th district play against Dawson Springs. We'll talk with Kaw County High School Athletic Director Jeff Riley about those games and more when we come back. Stay with us as we continue on the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Shop for insurance with ease at Goodwin Insurance, where we do the shopping for you. Experience real customer service from our local team. Over the past 35 years, Goodwin Insurance has been offering great rates and exceptional service. Try Goodwin today.
This is Kevin Meacham from H&R Agripire. Dream lawns need a realistic plan, and Kubota has a reliable, powerful zero-turn mowers to help you see those dreams come to life, plus dealer support to help you achieve your goals. Stop by today. Right now, bring home select Kubota Z400 series for zero down, 1.99 APR for up to 48 months. Now through March 31st, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com/disclaimers for full disclaimer. Come see us, H&R Agripire, Eagle Way Bypass in Hopkinsville.
Powering your lives and lighting up your nights, Princeton Electric Plant Board's community spirit shines bright. Entrusted with the glow of our fields, they keep our Tigers' pathways illuminated to victory. A shout out goes to our Tigers as they roar into a new season. Good luck, Tigers. Here's to a safe and victorious year from your one and only Princeton Electric Plant Board. They're not just a service, they're community.
It's a proven fact. Going on vacation is really good for your health and happiness. But if money is holding you back from sandy beaches, the mountains, or relaxing by a pool, then you need to visit ABC Finance. They can help get you to that vacation destination you've been dreaming about. They offer loans from $500 to $15,000, and decisions are made quickly, usually within an hour. Your dream vacation is within reach with help from ABC Finance. All loans subject to normal credit approval.
This is Todd Morse at the Hopkinsville ABC Finance location.
And this is Courtney Morse at ABC Finance in Princeton.
Whatever location is closest to you, we're here to help make your loan process quick, easy, and stress-free.
We can even consolidate all your loans into one easy payment.
No appointment is needed, walk-ins are welcome, and we can take your application in person, over the phone, or apply online at abcfinanceonline.com.
Be sure to like and follow ABC Finance on Facebook for daily money tips and community info.
All loans subject to normal credit approval.
Weather Edge Weather Center forecast, a sunny sky, 86 degrees this afternoon. Southwest winds, that could be as high as 30 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear skies, a low around 53. And then Friday, a near guarantee for showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures falling to the low 50s. But back to this afternoon, 86 sunny skies in southwestern Kentucky.
We are back on the Sideline Report here at 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Kaw County High School Athletic Director Jeff Riley now in the studio with us this morning. And, Jeff, appreciate you coming in this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Todd. I appreciate it.
Did I get the sports schedule right for today? No changes?
To the best of my knowledge, but like I told you, the day's still early, so there could be changes. I don't think so. It looks like the weather's really good, barring some, you know, unforeseen thing. I think we're good to go to get everything in this afternoon.
You just never know what's going to happen this time of year with the schedule. I don't think we had waterline break in Hopkins County down as one of the reasons we'd have to change the schedule this week.
No, we didn't. I'm sure they didn't have it down as a reason to change the schedule, but I think you kind of get in a situation like they had, and, you know, Mr. Wilder texts me. He's like, hey, we've got this thing going on over here. Can we switch? And I was at the ball game, and I just walked out and asked Coach Stevens what he thought about switching. He said it didn't matter to him, so that was an easy switch so we didn't lose a game and have to reschedule something. So we just made a little home and away switch, and it worked out pretty good. And they could come over there and not have to worry about, you know, having a water issue, and then they've got their water issue fixed, and we can go over there today.
And another little issue with the baseball schedule on Saturday.
Yeah, I think Coach Stevens told me yesterday that Trigg County has a makeup in the 2A. There's a 2A tournament similar to our 1A tournament, and I think they needed that date to play a – I don't know if it was a makeup game or to get that thing started, and they had to cancel with us, so it cost us a trip over there. But I would guess that the boys are relish having a little Saturday off, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of time to get that one back in the schedule later on.
Yeah, there is a big milestone today, potentially, over at Hopkins County Central. A win would be Kaw County's 900th baseball victory.
Nice. Oh,
confirmed victory, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, I bet back through the archives there's a few baseball games that didn't get put down on paper back in the day. But, yeah, that's awesome. I didn't realize that.
I think there's about three seasons worth of games where I'm just not completely satisfied that I found every result.
Right. I bet that's a tough task when you start looking in the back when, you know, they didn't take it a point to record everything and didn't keep all the stats, and they were just playing to be playing and having fun and playing a little baseball games. Sometimes I think that might not have been too bad an idea.
Yeah. Well, and back then, of course, I think almost all the infields around here were the skinned infields, so it was just dirt.
Yeah.
If you had a really heavy rain, nobody really had tarps back then.
Right.
You might miss a week's game or more because of the weather.
Yeah, yeah. I bet that was a challenge back then. So sports didn't have as quite an impact on society either. I think it was seen as a game more so then, and it's kind of advanced beyond that a little bit now.
You know, honestly, I was kind of impressed that there were as many results as there were.
Yeah, well, and that maybe that kind of confirms that you got most of them.
Yeah.
They did take the time to write them down, and you got most everything, and they probably didn't skip too many, so maybe it was just a bad weather year, and hopefully so. But either way, officially 900 game, huh?
Yeah, 900 confirmed wins. Wow. There might have been a few missed back in the day, and most of those were like in the early 1960s. And, you know, after you check – everything locally and then go through the Paducah Suns and the Kentucky New Eras,
right.
I'm not really sure after that where to even go look for another score.
No, I think that's about all you can do, unless there's a dusty old book somewhere downstairs at the Butler somebody's run across in 50 years. That's probably about as good as you're going to get.
Now, Coach Giadonna had a couple of score books back from when he was the head coach back in the 60s, and and that helped a whole lot find some of those years.
So
that's why I'm kind of, you know, pretty sure that those are right. But then there's some other years where they only played four or five games, and maybe they only really played that many games because of the weather, but you just don't know for sure.
Right, yeah, you never can tell. That's the history. I think it's so interesting to see the contrast and, you know, how sports has changed and evolved, and as big a deal as it is now compared to then. And I always thought, especially with baseball, it was very interesting how the nation kind of grew up as the game grew. That's a very interesting thing about baseball. And baseball, I think, is the ultimate nostalgic sport. It kind of, you know, if it wasn't for professional baseball, you probably wouldn't have the NFL and the NBA and all that stuff now. So it's pretty neat, and it's pretty cool that, you know, somebody like you would go back and kind of find that history for locally too, because I think the kids need it, and they need to know that they're connected to something that's been around for a long time.
Now, the best I can determine, high school baseball was started here in 1958. And I've had some older guys tell me that they didn't play on high school teams back at Butler.
Right.
So I don't know if Butler had high school teams or if they were practicing football all spring or what was going on. But now there were other teams around, but I don't think there was an actual high school team.
Wasn't one here, huh? I bet a lot of the guys got together and played just to play there.
Yeah.
I mean, that you don't see that anymore, but kids, I mean, back then, I mean, even men would get together and play. They just get together and play baseball games just because it was something to do.
Yeah.
It was how they passed the time.
Yeah, every community had a team.
Yeah, you know? It was, you know, just the local guys who had grown up playing together, kept playing into their 20s and stuff. That's pretty cool.
You know, it wasn't so much the high school, but Flat Rock would have a team, and Cobb would have a team, and Crider would have a team, and they'd just get together and play ball.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. I don't know. You could do that today, I guess, but you might have to have a lot of security around to make it happen.
Now, a couple of interesting things about the baseball schedule for Caldwell County this season. We get to host the second region All-A Classic.
Yes, sir.
And we get to host the 7th District Tournament at the end of the year.
Yeah, we get them both this year. So that's a lot of good baseball. I think our field is as nice a field as anybody's around. So, you know, you can come out and get to see the kids play at home, and, you know, there'll be some beyond regular season meaningful games. So we'll host the whole thing All-A, which starts the week after spring break. So Monday after spring break, we're on the field with Fort Campbell, and then we'll host the rest of the tournament after that, and hopefully we advance and can keep playing at home. And then the 7th District Tournament at the middle of May, we'll get to host it too. So if we get two good days of weather, we'll get that in a couple nights. So hopefully those things pan out, and hopefully playing in the friendly confines of Tiger Stadium there, we get to enjoy some success in both those tournaments.
Now, I think softball has to go to Crittenden County for the All-A. I think this year would be Hopkins County Central for the district at the end of the year. So.
Yeah, it's their turn. So they're on the road a little bit, but that's okay too. You just kind of take your turn when it happens, and since I think we had all A softball last year, and would we had all A softball in seventh district?
Yes, we did last year. So
this year's baseball gets the double whammy. So that's okay. It's a fun night as long as the weather holds out. Those are fun, easy, kind of easy hosts, and
yeah,
you know, we've got good facilities on both parts and good fields to play at. Sometimes it gets a little hairy with parking and taking tickets, but that's worth it for the kids to get to play at home. So.
One thing I was hoping that we would get to host this year was the Class A regional track meet, but apparently it went to Mayfield.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, we thought we were in, but we applied and put all of our paperwork in with the state, but they made the choice to go to Mayfield. So I guess maybe in the next year or so we'll talk about it and try to do it again. Yeah. But they got it, so that's okay. That's just honestly, it's just one less thing.
Yeah. Well, and we've made a lot of improvements with the track facilities and got new hurdles. So,
right.
You know, I think we're pretty much in line, except for maybe, what is it, the pole vault we don't have?
Right.
Everything else.
So if we host and there's someone in the region that does pole vault, they would have to go, we'd have to make arrangements for that to go off site somewhere. So we'd have to find somebody that has it. It doesn't necessarily have to be a Class A school. It can just be a school that would be willing to let us use their facilities. But the kids got out and raised a ton of money, and Coach Shaw does a great job of raising some money, and they had enough, and they went and bought brand new hurdles. And, you know, last year when we kind of stepped in to kind of finish after there was a timing snafu, and you know we had to beg and borrow some hurdles, so we don't have to do that now. So you know the track program is on the rise, and Coach Shaw's done a really good job of putting that thing in a good position. So the next step would be to just kind of outright host the region. So hopefully we'll get an opportunity to do that in the next few years.
We're talking with Caldwell County High School Athletic Director Jeff Riley. We need to get to a timeout here on the Sideline Report, but we'll come back and have more after this on 1580 103.3. WPKY.
Fredonia Valley Bank, thriving within our community since 1894. Its roots run as deep as the valley itself. Much has evolved since 1894, but Fredonia Valley Bank's dedication to being your hometown financial institution remains unwavering. In this era of financial unpredictability, you can rely on Fredonia Valley Bank's impressive years of exceptional service. Place your trust in them as they are prepared to care for your needs. Fredonia Valley Bank, local people, local decisions, and local commitment, your true hometown bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
School is in session, which means sniffles and sore throats are too. But Princeton Drug makes it simple. Feeling sick? Just pull up to our drive-thru and get tested for flu, COVID, or strep. No appointment needed. It's only $40 for testing, and if you need medication, our pharmacists can prescribe it right there in the drive-thru. You'll leave with your results, a prescription, and a school or work note, all in about 20 minutes, without leaving your car. Stay ahead of sick days. Stop by Princeton Drug's drive through and get back to what matters.
Start your Sunday mornings with singing. It's the Sunday Singing starting at 6 on 1580 103.3 online at WPKYonline.com and your free app. Hello, I'm Ken Cummins.
I am Eddie Boone.
We're your host along with these rotating churches: Eddy Creek Baptist, Cedar Bluff Baptist, Lebanon Baptist, Pleasant Hill Baptist, and on the fifth Sunday, the Caldwell Lion Baptist Association. It's the Sunday Singing every Sunday starting at 6 in the morning and repeated at noon on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're talking with Caldwell County High School Athletic Director Jeff Riley in the studio with us on the show today. And Jeff, some coaching openings at Caldwell County, and I know everyone is interested in where you guys kind of stand on some of those things.
Well, with the boys basketball, it's open. We have multiple applicants. We have a pretty good applicant pool. I don't think we're to the narrow down stage yet. So, you know, Coach Kukuhiko indicated to me that he wanted to kind of use spring break as kind of a little window to kind of for him and I to kind of get together and sort through some applications and resumes and try to come up with a game plan coming out of spring break about starting interviews. So it's still open, and, you know, we're still taking applications. So excited about, you know, the next chapter and kind of see what interest we have. And kind of get that thing going moving forward and try to find a great coach for our kids. We have we feel like we have a pretty good team coming back. So, you know, whoever comes in is going to have some talent to work with. So we're excited to get that thing going.
I was going to say that's a pretty attractive opening, I would think, because a couple of big-time scorers coming back and looks like the makings of a pretty good basketball team.
Yeah, we have the bulk of our kids are coming back, and the kids that are coming back have a lot of experience and a lot of minutes. And you know, if you good Lord willing, and you get Cam Wilson back, he's an important piece of the puzzle that didn't get to play this year. And I know he had a really good summer coming into the year, so. I do think there's a lot of interest in that program, and you do have some talent coming in to where you can kind of put together a pretty good squad. So that's kind of that's what we're looking for. We're just going to kind of dive in and kind of find the person that fits best for us, and you know, it's got the kind of experience and attitude that we think will fit best with our kids, and we'll just get into those resumes and start making interviews and take it from there.
As you look around the area, though, it seems like there's a whole lot of coaching openings. Is that just the time of year we're in, or is that a sign of something else?
Well, I don't know. I think it's different with each situation. I think I do think, you know, as the trend in education when I got into coaching was, if you were going to be a head coach at a major program, you needed to be in the building and teach. The trend has gotten away from that simply because there just aren't enough willing applicants that teach and want to be a head coach all the time. So I think ideally you try to find that, but it doesn't always work out. So, you know, so it just comes down to whoever you think the best person is to coach. And I think coaches get in education, they're like everybody else. They want to advance and, you know, they want to move up and they want to try to get into administration jobs. I think that's a reflection of what happens. It's very tough to be a high school principal or to be a principal of a school and then have the demands of being a head coach and run a high school program. And so I think a lot of people, there just aren't very many people that get in it to teach and coach for 25 and 30 years. I think those, once they get in, they get their feet in the door and they get a little bit under their career, they're looking to move into administration. I think a lot of times that affects coaches. And then, you know, some coaches are ambitious and looking to go to different programs, and I think that opens things up too. So there's a lot of different reasons for each position, and each one of them's kind of got its own unique story, I think.
Yeah. We've mentioned spring sports season in full bloom right now, and are you guys going to do anything football wise in the spring?
Yeah, we've had a pretty good crew. We have a weightlifting class in school. We have about 15-20 kids that are coming every afternoon to weightlifting. So we've got a good numbers. We've got, you know, about 8 or 10 kids that are coming from the eighth grade that have added to our numbers, and we've got some kids that are playing baseball and track and doing some other things that we don't see every day. But you know, we're glad for that. We want kids to get out and play different sports. After spring break, we'll probably take a little time, get on the practice field. So we'll have a little spring practice window. You know, I think Coach McClung is kind of rolling around how much, you know, contact and stuff we'll get. We'll probably do a little contact stuff. I don't think we'll do like a full 11-on-11 type thing, but we'll get out, do some fundamental work just to get on the field and continue to lift through the spring. And, you know, we'll try to throw and catch and, you know, maybe block and tackle a little, not a lot, just to kind of knock the rust off and, you know, get some fundamental work in, and then come out of the spring and finish out the year in the weight room and then get on the field, throw some 7-on-7 stuff, and then kind of, you know, then it's time to go.
Yeah. This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY Princeton. Talking this morning with Caldwell County High School Athletic Director Jeff Riley. And, Jeff, did you hear us talking earlier about the NCAA tournament? What's your bracket look like right now?
Well, my bracket is blank because I didn't fill one out.
No.
I'll tell you what, Todd, I'm so bad at picking college basketball games a few years ago. I just decided I gave it up I didn't have to sacrifice my $5 to Andrew Felker every year at the high school. So I don't really have a bracket. I kind of watch with a passing interest. I kind of watch the local teams and, you know, check out who's doing what. So I don't really have I have to leave that to the experts. I think Coach Hammett and Coach Kukihiko gave you pretty good insight.
Yeah.
So I can't top that. So I'll stay mum on that subject.
Well, mine is just picked so that we can laugh at it later, I think. But, you know, if you look at the tournament now, of course, Kentucky's gone, and that's a big draw for a lot of people. And Louisville's gone, and that's another big draw. But there aren't really any Cinderellas to latch on to this year. I think a lot of Kentucky fans and maybe Louisville fans, I don't know, are kind of picking St. John's because of Rick Pitino and kind of jumping on that bandwagon. But there's not that small school to kind of say, hey, I'm going to pull for them the rest of the way.
Yeah, the small schools now losing those guys that put them in the tournament to the big schools.
Yeah,
they're moving
the
up in
transfer the portal.
The state of college athletics is so much different now. It is interesting, fun tournament. I know the buzzer beaters were really interesting when Kentucky hit tied one up and then was able to win in overtime. That was pretty cool to see. So those things are always fun to watch. It'll be interesting how it plays out. I don't dive into the college basketball pool much anymore, just because I've I got a little athletics on the other side, a little high school athletics I deal with, but it is fun.
Yeah, the best 2 days of the NCAA tournament, though, are the first 2 days.
Oh, yeah, it is fun to see who comes out, who gets to the Sweet 16, and usually by the time you get to this point, it's a little bit chalk. You know who the best teams are and, you know, who survives, and the survive and advance things comes out. But
and you've got three or four games going on at a time, and you flip over to one and then catch the flip over to another one and catch the end of it. So to me, that's – and for smaller schools, that is their championship, that first game.
Yeah, and it was great seeing, you know, seeing Drabrion play in the NCAA tournament. It was so cool that, you know, they got to play in the same venue that Kentucky got to play in, so that was really neat. And it's always cool when you have a personal connection. I think that always generates interest. And I know there's a lot of diehard Kentucky and Louisville fans here in town, and I know they're both disappointed that their teams aren't in it, so now they get to just root against the teams they hate the most.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're all St. John's fans, they're playing Duke.
That's right. And even Rick even said he wanted to get them back for the infamous shot a few years ago. So,
but I think half of Princeton went to St. Louis last week.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did. And that's a really cool thing. We were talking about that at school, and it's a once in a lifetime opportunity that you get to, you know, you get to see a guy that you coach or you got to watch play in an NCAA tournament locally. That was a huge thing, and I'm glad everybody got a chance to go.
Well, I'm glad you could come in and talk some sports with us this morning. Appreciate it, as always.
Well, I appreciate you having me, man. I hope it's, you know, not too boring for everybody to listen to, but that's kind of the way the AD's not as exciting as talking about when you're going and competing. So,
but spring sports are going on, and I know that's always a busy time.
Yeah, we've got baseball and softball's in full swing. Everybody's kind of playing. Everybody's got a full schedule moving forward. The track team's getting back on the track this weekend in Marshall County. So I think Coach K kind of covered tennis pretty well, so they're kind of up and moving around. So it's early still, but it's in full swing.
Yeah.
So like you said, it's an exciting time. It's pretty busy, and you know, this with schedule changes and weather, I think weather will probably play a factor into tomorrow some. So we will we'll just kind of take it from there, man.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me.
Caldwell County High School Athletic Director Jeff Riley with us on the show this morning. Also, thanks to Caldwell County tennis coaches Steve Cookie Hicko and Tori Hammett for coming in and being on the show this morning. Don't forget, we've got baseball on the air today. The Tigers going for win number 900 at Hopkins County Central. We'll be on the air immediately following the 5 o'clock newscast. First pitch set for 5:30. Again, that game is over in Morton's Gap today. That's going to wrap us up for the Sideline Report on this Thursday morning. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for being with us this morning here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.